Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today marks a landmark vote in the Senate regarding health insurance in America. This morning, we caught up with Senator John Thune for details on what exactly today's procedural vote means and what happens in the days ahead.
Well, we're starting today on health care with a procedural vote, and that vote is a motion to proceed. It's the vote that has to occur that allows us to even get on the bill to even start the debate. And so that will occur this afternoon. If it succeeds and you get on the bill, then amendments are in order. Everybody can offer their amendments, get votes on their amendments. It's basically, under this particular procedure, an unlimited amendment process. So anybody who has an amendment can offer it. And if they've got the votes, obviously, they can get it attached. But it's a chance to debate and offer amendments and get votes on the bill. So that's what we'll be voting on this afternoon. And it's a procedural motion to proceed to the bill.
What sort of things are happening between now and the vote, a lunch with GOP senators, et cetera, to sort of rally the troops? What's the behind the scenes look like on this?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, I've sat through lots of meetings in the last several months on this particular subject, and we have senators, or Republican senators, who are in all kinds of different places, and so trying to pull them together is no easy feat. But I think we're starting to narrow the gap and getting to a point where we might have a consensus that would enable us to move forward. But I think what will happen today, prior to the vote, particularly at our noon meeting, will be the leader will sort of lay out how he intends to sort of structure the debate, what amendments he will call up first before the amendment process gets to be a wide open one where anybody can get amendments. And he'll lay that out for our members and see if there's a green light to move forward. I think either way, we're going to have a vote. I think we've concluded that a majority of senators, Republican senators at least, want to vote and fulfill the commitments that they've made to their voters back in their states, that they would do everything they could within their power to move forward with repealing and replacing Obamacare.
Who's holding out and why? What sort of things are they holding out for on the Republican side?
Well, it's interesting among Republicans, and, you know, there's certainly not any what I would call groupthink among Republicans. Everybody has different ideas about the best way to fix the problem we have with Obamacare, which is these skyrocketing costs and these collapsing markets. It's something that has to be dealt with, and South Dakota is, of course, a good example of some of the impacts of those high rates. But I think that the people who are still trying to get to yes are from two different perspectives, two different groups. One is there are folks who believe, want to see the Medicaid changes sort of pared back to address the concerns that expansion states have about the Medicaid expansion over a period of time ultimately going away. So they're trying to figure out how to make that a smoother glide path and to make sure that Medicaid is sustainable and able to keep up with the demands that individuals in their states are going to have going forward. And then on the other side, you've got the conservatives who don't believe the bill is quite conservative enough and want to get rid of some of the regulations and create more freedom, options, choices for consumers when it comes to buying health insurance. So it's kind of really those two issues right now. And if you move the bill in one direction, you lose some conservatives. You move it the other direction, you lose some moderates. So it's been a real challenge to try and strike the balance. But I think we're getting there. And again, I hope that we have a successful vote this afternoon.
What's the significance, sort of the symbolic significance of Senator John McCain returning from his hospitalization and from his recent diagnosis to attend the vote?
Well, I think, we all, John McCain is courageous and has been a fighter his entire life, always wants to be in the middle of the big issues, mixing it up. And I think this is another example of that, somebody who wants to do whatever he can to help his country. And so clearly his return today, I think, marks a lifelong commitment to trying to just promote and continue to advance the freedoms that we enjoy in this country and to be a part of solving problems that will make this country stronger and better. I think we all recognize the kind of character that he has and what he's up against right now, and that makes his return here and his presence even more appreciated, I think, by our colleagues here in the Senate.
Help me understand specifically, Senator Thune. So the procedural vote to go ahead is exactly the bill as it was passed out of the House, and then the amendments come afterwards. Do I understand that right?
That is correct. Under this procedure, you have to start with the House shell. And so you take the House bill as passed by the House, and if the motion to proceed is to the House bill, the leader would call up the House bill, and if we can get on it, and then once we get on it, the amendment process would get underway. And the leader has the power of recognition in the Senate, so he gets recognized first, and he can offer the first amendment or two, which I think he probably will. But in the end, under this procedure called reconciliation in the Senate, any member can offer unlimited amounts of amendments and get votes. I mean, this process sometimes goes on, for days and well into the night, and I suspect in this case it will as well. So once we get on the bill, assuming that we're successful, it starts the clock running, and then people can come to the floor and offer amendments, and anybody who has an amendment before this procedure is concluded can get a vote if they want to. So very, very open process, and one which, again, I hope in the end gets us a result, because, you know, I mean, even for people in South Dakota, and I hear from them all the time, you know, we've seen since 2013 in the individual marketplace, premiums in our state have gone up by 124%. So they've more than doubled since 2013. And in dollars, that's over $3,500 a year and that's average in the individual marketplace in South Dakota. So a real need to address the affordability issue and come up with something that provides a better way forward. And I hope that's what, in the end, we're able to get done here.
What sort of amendments are sort of teed up to go first? What are the significant changes to the House bill that need to be addressed?
I think, one, you're going to have there's a lot of our members want to have a vote on just a straight kind of repeal. And in 2015, we had a vote in the Senate that succeeded, and it ultimately was sent it to the president. It was vetoed at that time by President Obama. So a lot of our Republican senators are insisting on getting that vote again. So I suspect that will be a vote that we'll get right away, and I don't anticipate that would succeed. And then I think there is there could be a vote on a Senate proposal that would include changes made to the House bill. And one of those, as I mentioned earlier, is to lessen the impact on the expansion states of the phase out of the expansion match rate. When you talk about the amount that the states and the feds have to contribute, it reduces over time the amount that the feds would contribute, but it's a smoother phase out, and then it also will address for those who are not eligible for Medicaid and can get help in the private insurance marketplace, an opportunity to use Medicaid dollars to help supplement and augment, if you will, the cost that somebody might have to buy in the individual marketplace. And that's an amendment that's being adopted or being drafted right now by Rob Portman and others, basically to expand the number of people that would be eligible to get private insurance and giving some flexibility to the states to use Medicaid dollars to do that. So that's one issue. And then, of course, the other issue here is to allow people to buy insurance plans that they want to buy. So in other words, as long as a state in their exchange offers the one plan that has everything on it, all the mandates and requirements, they would also be able to offer slimmed down plans with higher deductibles and lower premiums for people who choose to buy those. And that, of course, is something that was insisted upon by a number of the conservatives. So those are a couple of amendments that I think that are clear changes from the House bill. And then I've been very involved in trying to sort of redesign the refundable tax credit that the House had in their bill to make it more helpful to people who are lower income and elderly. And so we've sort of redesigned the tax credit so that it drives more of the assistance, more of the benefit of that to people who are lower income and elderly than was the case in the House version. And so those are some significant changes from what the House did that I suspect in one way, form, or another will get voted on here in the Senate.
Is there a time limit on bringing those amendments? You said before the clock starts ticking.
If we get on the bill later this afternoon, I think this process will extend probably into the weekend. But there's an initial amount of time that's allowed for debate. And then when debate closes, and amendments can be offered during that time too, but when that time for debate closes, then we enter into a period that we refer to as Votorama, in which case any senator can offer an amendment and get a vote on it. And that typically extends hours on end. And like I said, in this case, probably run a couple of days or into the night. So anyway, if we get on the bill to get to the end of the process and get all the amendments considered and voted on, I think you're probably looking at this running sometime into Friday, Saturday time frame would be my guess.
What's the political impact, let's say, of a no vote today if you don't get those 50 senators, if you have some holdouts? What happens next?
Well, I mean, if the vote ended up not succeeding today, we don't get on the bill. And, of course, if you don't get on the bill, you can't change the status quo. I think this really is a vote for people who, whether you're in the camp that wants to repeal it or in the camp that wants to repeal it and replace it, you know, these people who have amendments that want to strengthen and make and improve upon and make the House bill better don't get that opportunity. I think, you know, voting against the motion even to proceed essentially says, I don't want to get on this bill. I don't want to debate this issue. And you know, I don't want to have all these amendments considered. So I think that's essentially the choice that our members are going to have. And if it doesn't succeed, then we're basically back to square one and to ground zero. And then the question is, where do we go from here? And that doesn't mean it's over. And I've said before, I think this issue, one way or the other, has got to be dealt with because it's not going away. I mean, these Obamacare markets continue to collapse. It's been described as a death spiral. You've got these, as I mentioned, skyrocketing premiums, and people are demanding action. And I think that whether it happens today and this week or some point in the near future, it's going to happen. So I think all that would mean is that we would, you know, obviously be short term. We'd have to go back to the drawing board and regroup, but ultimately we've got to deal with this issue, and I think it's in everybody's interest to deal with it sooner rather than later. I just think that we've got a responsibility and a commitment that we made to the American people to give them a better path forward when it comes to health insurance and to do something that attacks this affordability issue, which is the thing we hear about the most, and to address what are these collapsing markets where people are having fewer and fewer choices. So now is the time to do it, my view, and I hope we have the votes to proceed today.
Senator John Thune, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
That's South Dakota Senator John Thune. We caught up with him this morning after the break, a conversation about personal genetics and children. Stay in the moment.